And I'm Tina, and we fail a lot.
Yes, we do.
Tina, why is it okay that we fail so much?
Because it's unavoidable. We fail forward, so we can learn and grow.
But we're not failures, right?
Right! Failure doesn't define who we are.
So you know what? We're saying, I failed.
And I feel fine.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another amazing, I'm just guessing, episode of the How to Fail podcast. I need to start over because now I feel like that wasn't very humble and I want to die. Okay.
Say it with a little more confidence or...
Yes, I either need more confidence or not to say it like that. Welcome back to the How to Fail podcast. This is Kristen with, as always...
Hey guys, it's Tina.
Tina. And today we are with Christina Montalvo, who is a body image coach with a particular passion for anti-dieting, which obviously Tina and I have a lot of thoughts and feelings on. We've had a couple of episodes so far that have, I think, kind of like skirted the surface of this topic, but have not gone into depth. So hopefully we'll go into depth about it today. But we talked, if you listen to the episode with Kenesha Raymond, we talk a little bit about like the plus size industry and how Kenesha wants to eliminate sizing at all and have it be like, oh, I'm a size, beautiful. And so we talk a little bit about that. And I think we'll get into more nitty gritty with Christina. But hi, Christina. Thank you for being on the show.
Hi, you guys. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Yay. We're excited too. Fun fact, I edit Christina's podcast, The Confidence Project. So,
so
creepily,
funny.
I know a lot about Christina. She probably doesn't even know that.
Wow.
I know.
That's how I feel about all the people's podcasts I listen to. I'm like, I'm Dax Shepard's best friend, right? I know so much about him, right? That he doesn't know me. So.
He told me he knows you.
That's so funny.
Dax Shepard said.
All right. Well, Christina, why don't we just get down to it? I would really like to start, I guess, with just tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe where you're from, and then the ideas and like your inspiration for your business now, and then really whatever else you want to throw in there, we're open to listening to.
So I have always been an athlete, just like really good at being aware of my space, like in the world, mm-hmm. or of my body taking up space in the world from like an athletic standpoint. But I always struggled with my weight. Hmm. So looking back now, when I went to college, I got my undergraduate degree in exercise science with a minor in nutrition. And I couldn't say this back then, but I can say it now beyond the shadow of a doubt. I went to school in that stuff, hoping that if I got a degree in exercise and nutrition, that I would somehow have this perfect body because of it. And I totally didn't realize that that's why I was going to school. Now, I loved it. I never would change my career path at all. But I started a business as a personal trainer and started it out of my garage, my single car garage.
And <It's> amazing.
I realized a couple years in that I was doing these women a disservice, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it. But I'm like, why aren't these women feeling better? Or if they are feeling better, why is it always mm-hmm. coming back to they lost another pound? And then if that pound ever came back for whatever reason, it's like all the work that they had done, all the progress, all the strength was for nothing because of this pound, or their pant size didn't change. And I'm like, I'm doing something wrong. Like, and I'm responsible for it. So what's missing? And I was just diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, and that I think was the kicker. That was like, wait, it doesn't matter what my body looks like, because I feel like crap all the time, right? Because I'm sick and all this. I'm like, what if I just focus on feeling better? Now, what does feeling better mean? What does it take to feel better? And then my whole business and all my messaging changed from then, because it was like, what if we don't put your worth or your success or your celebration on your weigh-in or your body fat percentage or whatever, because that's not helping anyone feel better in the short term. Yeah, you lose a pound and you're like, yes, this is it. But then it's contingent. Your happiness, your self-worth is contingent. And so then I changed my messaging. And so I no longer work out of my single car garage. I have a 2,000 square foot warehouse that I train women out of. And that's just
good for you.
Thank you.
Lots of and murder people in.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's what she uses her garage for now.
Yeah. Oh, right. You freed up the space.
Totally. Okay. I want to talk about failures in business. Going from my garage to a warehouse, is that road was paved with millions of failures. But so training and strength and conditioning is just one way that I help women, but it has nothing to do with what we look like or what we weigh. And it has everything to do with what we feel like. So that's that.
Love it. I was going to ask how long, well, I guess my first, like, how long did that kind of process take for you to go from like realizing, you know, feeling good isn't just about like what you look like, and then kind of transforming that into your business?
How long did that take? 22 years, my whole life at the time, because I had spent my whole life trying to come up with a means to an end of, well, if I just looked like her, then I could feel like her. And her was anyone who had a different body than me, or a smaller, more socially acceptable body than mine. And so it took my whole life. And then once that thought came to surface in my conscious mind, it just became a process. It wasn't like a realization and then the next day I was able to apply it. And yeah, it's still a daily process. Like, here I am years later. How old am I? I'm going to be 29 soon. And there are still days that I'm like, oh, like, this is what I look like. But those days and those feelings are fleeting moments now, and they're not the overall tone of my entire life, if that makes sense. So it took, but it took a really long time.
Gosh, I'm trying to think of where I want to start. Where we want to start, because I have a couple of like probably huge questions. And I know that we don't have like 5 hours to talk about this. Maybe we'll have to have you back for like a part
I'd
two.
Love to come back.
But gosh, okay. So I have to start by admitting that I've listened to the past like 12 episodes of your podcast just because, you know, I edit them. So that's where I started. I haven't gone back to the beginning yet. I need to. But there are so many topics in my head I'm thinking of, because I'm like, yep, heard that on her podcast. Yeah, she talked about that already. And I think as an editor, I listen more in depth than anybody else, just because I have to like make sure like every little thing sounds good. And so I can't remember exactly if you've gone in depth about this particular question, but Tina and I, not too long ago, got some Thai food. That's an important part of the question. And then we sat in Tina's car for a while, and we were talking about how, you know, both of us don't consider ourselves like the mainstream body type. Like, I personally consider, you know, by like BMI standards, I'm overweight. By, you know, I'm like a curvy body. I think like this is something Tina and I have talked about before. And Tina, you put it so well, which is like, on one hand, you want to say like, I want to get in shape, I want to lose weight, I want to get healthy, I want to feel better. And then on the other hand, you want to say like, well, damn it, I don't need to look a certain way. I don't have to lose weight. I don't have to be, you know, any particular shape or size. Like, it's kind of this war between, I want to lose weight, I want to look different. But then at the same time, like, but then I also know that I'm supposed to be body positive, and I'm supposed to like love myself at any size, and that health doesn't have a particular size necessarily. And I guess my question is, how do you rectify as a person both like the pull to want to look different and the pull to want to say, screw all that, I want to be whoever I am right now?
That's a really good question. It's a shame we don't have 5 hours, because I feel like I could go on forever. So a few things, and I have talked about this on my podcast before, but I'd love to share this with your audience, is I think that there is a huge problem within the body positivity community. And while I have never been on the receiving end of any of these comments, from my experience, and this is my opinion only, and I think that's important because it's my opinion, so it could be wrong. Within the body positivity community, there's a lot of people who shame women who do exercise or who decide to start eating healthier. And I'm using air quotes. And it's like, wait, I think we're missing the point, because body positivity should be all about inclusion. And I don't think that you can create this inclusive group of body positivity and self-love that goes, but not for you guys, not for you if you aren't plus sized or aren't overweight So it's kind of like, wait, but what about the women who do want to exercise? So we can't create this container of body positivity that is exclusive if you don't look a certain way, if that makes sense. Does that make any sense? So there's the first part. There's the first part. The second part is being able to identify, like, why is it that you want to lose weight? And so this is a really hairy topic. It's a can of worms because you also, as a human and as a woman, you're allowed to create the autonomy over your body and create that responsibility over your body. And you really are allowed to have any goal that you want. But this is where it gets complicated. The reason why you want to achieve that goal is very important. And so in my experience as a coach, a trainer, of whatever hat I'm wearing, is when we have this intended outcome, like, well, if I lose weight, then I'll be happier. Then I'll feel more attractive. Then I'll be more confident. That is setting you up for a world of hurt, and you're never going to feel that way. So if there are these contingencies about what your body looks like, what clothes you're wearing, other than, I understand, like, if you can enter into weight loss or whatever, just as an example, with really nothing in my life is going to change that much. I'm just going to literally change the way my body looks. And then it becomes almost less important. When women are, and this is very common, the sentiments that you shared while eating Thai food in the car is very common. And a lot of women will...
Thai food's important.
A lot of women will email me like, I don't understand how to start incorporating exercise or movement or vegetables without wanting to throw up the big middle finger to diet culture, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's like, and so for me, no matter what you look like, no matter what your goal is, women should be practicing intentional movement. That has nothing to do with weight loss. It has nothing to do with looking better in a bikini or anything. It has everything to do with, again, what we feel like. And if you can shift to a place of using exercise as a means to an end or as a punishment or as a combat for what your body looks like, and move into it as a practice, as a meditation, as a way to connect with your body. For me, exercise is a very spiritual experience, which I think is very weird, but it really is for me. It's a celebration. Like, I have four limbs. I have 10 fingers. I have 10 toes. I have muscles in my body, and I'm going to use them out of celebration instead of out of punishment. And so that was one of the biggest steps for me, is instead of like, I ate all this Thai food or I ate all this pizza, so now I have to go work out. I almost won't even work out if I'm feeling fat. I won't allow myself to work out if I'm feeling fat, because then I'm perpetuating that cycle, which I think a lot of women struggle with that. They're like, what? The second I feel fat, I go for a run. I'm like, no, that's not going to help. And then you're perpetuating the feelings of exercise is a way to earn this food or burn this food, or it's a way to manage my body. But if you can shift to, exercise is a celebration, it's a meditation, it's a practice, and it can come from a place of gratitude instead of a place from hate and fixing and whatever, then all that diet culture stuff goes away. And then it's like, oh, wait, I deserve to move my body. And if it never changes, if I don't lose an ounce, if I don't gain a single bit of muscle, it doesn't matter. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. And it's actually very helpful.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I just want to clarify. I think it's very important to be perfectly clear that we were not eating Thai food in the car.
Oh. Although I've done that before.
The Thai food came first, and then we moved to the second location.
You're allowed to eat Thai food wherever you want, Kristen.
Tina's car is clean. I'm just trying to keep it.
It's genuinely not. Oh gosh. How do you find that? Because it sounds like at your, like with your clients and stuff, how is it received? Or like, how do you work with people to like help them shift their mindset? Because like, I think that sounds beautiful and wonderful. And I just wonder like how you allow people this space where they can practice that.
Like the mindset piece of it or the actual tactical like exercise portion?
I think the mindset piece. Or does it just kind of come naturally with, you know, like you're modeling it to people? So they're like, oh, yeah. Or they know what they're getting into.
So that's actually a really good question. With my gym specifically, so not with the women that I work with online virtually or remotely, if you will, but with my gym, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's one of the reasons why my gym is not busting at the seams. because I have women who contact me. They're like, I'm getting married in 6 weeks, Christina. You need to make me look good in my wedding dress. And I'm like, nope, I'm not the girl for you. I'm not. Mm-hmm. And we go kind of through this process in the beginning before they come in as a member, as a client of mine. And a lot of women are holding on so tightly to their hatred towards their body, or holding on so tightly to the reasons why they exercise. So when they have me sitting in front of them, like, no, we don't do it that way. Or no, I don't talk to you people that way. Or, you know, oh, well, are you going to track how many calories I'm burning? No. Then I'm like, you know what? You can come try it and see if you like it. So it's hard. I think a lot of women, thanks to the online space, they're kind now more so than ever. They're knowing what they're signing up for before they come. Mm-hmm. So it's a really easy vetting process. But I do lose a lot of potential clients for the in-person gym because they're holding on so tightly to their stories, those narratives, that pile of crap that doesn't serve us anymore. So they're going to go to a place that's going to feed into those narratives more. I don't do weight loss challenges. I never, ever will. I don't post before and after photos of my clients like, look who lost 50 pounds in 50 days. That's sexy marketing. Women want that. Yeah. They eat it up. That's what I used to do. And my schedule is a lot more jam-packed, believe it or not. And the second I switched, women are like a moth to a flame to those messages. You know, show me where I can lose 50 pounds in 50 days. Show me how I can start shredding for the wedding. And I just don't house that stuff. Now, the women that do are like, okay, let me just try it. It's a constant process too. And they come to me, you know, during our session or before, after, or on our private Facebook group for the gym, they share like, I'm having a really bad body image day, and they know that it's a safe space. Yeah. And so we open up that dialogue of like, what do you do when you have a bad body image day? Or what do you do if you went on vacation and overindulged for a week straight? They're like, let me in the gym. I'm like, chill out, homegirl. Classes don't start again till Monday and you're going to be fine.
Right.
And I just remove the pressure of like, we're not doing weigh-ins. We're not doing progress photos. We're going to see, can you do maybe 10 push-ups now instead of 9? That's the stuff we're going to celebrate, not the measurements. And to be honest with you, a lot of gyms don't do that.
Yeah. Because I could see, like you said, a lot of that is marketing. Like, people want that instant result for sure. For sure. I mean, I can't say I've never, you know, bought into certain things like that 100%. But I think, same. But it seems like you're building something or trying to build something more long lasting and substantial. And that's really what people need, really what I need. For sure. For sure.
Me too. I think there's such a tendency, well, for me personally, there's a huge tendency to be like, okay, so when I am listening to your podcast, there are some times when I'm yelling at the screen. I'm like, Christina, how can that be?
What are you saying?
Nothing. All good things. Like, as someone who's currently struggling with all the stuff that, like, you're talking about on the show, it's really, like, to me, alluring to think, like, well, I'll work on the being happy with myself part after I lost weight. Like, I'll work on that. Like, I can't, sort of like, I can't be happy until I'm a smaller size. So I'll just do that first, and then I'll do all the self-discovery stuff, you know. So I kind of want to hear what you think about how, like, emotions play into this. But I might want to hold off on that for part two, because I think that we need to get started on the failure question, which is, okay, so I want to ask you, specifically, how diet culture has failed us in general. Your thoughts on that. And I know it's huge. If you want to talk about specifically when it came to your story or the story of the women that you work with, or the, you know, how it led you to start your podcast. Yes. So if you want to talk about like the failure of diet culture and why you think it fails, and you can make that as big topic or small topic as you want.
Thank you for that permission. Because I'm like, where do I start? First and foremost, dieting, any type of dieting, anytime we are navigating food with rules or black and white thinking, we have disconnected our brain from our body. And so dieting has failed us by literally women. I'm going to use women as an example, men too, but mostly women, let's be honest. We have no idea how to listen to our bodies anymore. We have no idea how to receive these physiological cues without judgment. Like, we feel that being hungry is good. I hear that a lot. Like, when I'm hungry, I must be losing weight, right? Like, this is good. So I'm like, wait, but is it? Like, should you be hungry all the time? Like, that's such a weird thing to prioritize, is hunger. Or we think hunger is bad because now we're going to go eat something and eating is bad. Or like, there's all, I'm like, no, it's just, it's your body is talking to you. It's fine either way. Dieting has completely disconnected our brain from our bodies. No one knows how to eat anymore because the internet and diet culture and every moron with an Instagram account has a way to teach you how to eat for fat loss. And it's like, no one's asking you. I have yet to find a diet or a person or a book that's where let's say it's a diet book or a weight loss book. Chapter one should be, how do you feel? What foods do you enjoy? How do you want to eat? What does making peace with food look like for you? How do you want to feel around food as a whole? No one's asking that because no one cares. They're like, eat these foods, don't eat these foods, and I don't care how miserable you are mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually even. It doesn't matter as long as you lose weight. So that's the message that we've been, no pun intended, force-fed for decades now. And so it's failed us as a whole.
Pun a little intended.
Yeah, pun a little intended. Like, diet culture has failed us. We have no idea what we're doing. We have no idea how to eat. We have no idea how to feel. And then that perpetuates into, like, diet culture has also told us that less is more. And the smaller you are and the less that you weigh, it's better. And so we don't even know how to feel in our bodies without judgment, without criticism. That's a huge failure. Like, that opens up Pandora's box to so many other ways that it's failed us. It's really sad. And the worst part is that it's a multi-billion dollar industry. So it's not going away anytime soon.
Kind of talking about your, like your gym and your clients and having to navigate, like, is this the gym for you? Or is this not, like, is this really what you want? Or are you just looking for, like, quick results? Have there been any, like, failures in that? And, like, or just kind of, like, personal stuff that you've had to work through all of this? Yeah, I guess just like kind of like the personal things that you may have feel like you failed.
Do you mean kind of like how maybe she struggled with these feelings too, which sort of like led to the gym philosophy? Yeah. Is that what?
Yeah, something like that. Just kind of like how on your scale and in your life that has kind of translated to, you know, maybe something that you had to work through.
Gosh, I still don't even know how to answer that question. I mean, this is the first thing that came to mind, but hopefully this makes sense and kind of ties back. So I think a lot of the times with women as a whole, we get stuck into comparing ourselves to other women. You're like, I should look like that. I should be eating like that. I should feel like that. I should be working out like that. Like, it's this comparison thing. And for me personally, my body image and my body image healing is, it will never, I want to be clear that it will never end, but it becomes automated, right? So like, no one has to remind me to brush my teeth. I just do it. And no one has to really remind me about like keeping my body image in check. It just comes naturally. And that comes from work. However, when it comes to business, it takes a lot of energy for me because I get caught up in it all the time. Is like, I compare myself to other local gyms who have 30 people in their classes, 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. And I'm like, I should be doing that. My business should be running like that. And yeah, when I start to get self-conscious about myself as a business owner or my gym, it totally shows up in my energy when I'm there for, you know, teaching or coaching or whatever. But it also keeps me grounded that these women who are coming in that might be like, my sister-in-law looks better than I do, this comparison trap or whatever. It's like, I still am working on that as well. So it transpires into so many different areas of our life, just using comparison as a thing. But yeah, I don't know if that answers your question at all, but nobody's body image will ever be done. You don't just get to close the book and go, and we're done. Like, I feel better now, but it does become more automated. But then we're always learning, right? Like, we're always moving through life, learning and applying. And so, like I said, I don't compare myself to other women's bodies at all, but I do it in my business. And I think that'll be the next big breakthrough for me, is to be like, Christina, stop looking at how other people are running their businesses and just focus all that energy on yours. And the same could be said about our body too. Like, focus on your stuff instead of comparing and focusing on what everybody else is doing.
That was great. Thank you. I just wanted to hear you talk a little bit more about like how this touches, you know, like how you kind of work the same maybe failures and process too. So sorry, terrible question asking, great answer.
So I want to talk a little bit about like my failure when it comes to the idea of intuitive eating. So for anyone who doesn't know about intuitive eating, and I don't really know, so feel free to correct me, Christina, but I've gotten the sense that it's about listening to your body and your body's own hunger cues and not eating something because you crave it, or not depriving yourself of something because you're trying to diet or restrict in any way, but trying to truly get back to like listening to your body's own hunger mechanisms. Is that generally, would you consider that a right read on intuitive eating?
Yeah, I mean, except for the fact that like if you have a craving, diet culture will tell you, like, I think one of the best things, by best, I mean worst things that I've seen, maybe you guys have seen this, is like, it surfaced the internet years ago, and it was this chart that said, like, if you're craving chocolate, here's what you should eat instead. And if you're craving nuts, here's what you should eat instead. And it was this, like, stupid craving navigation chart. And, like, the way that I navigate cravings is, like, oh, you're craving a cookie? Go eat a cookie. Big deal. So intuitive eating is really taking all of the, again, like, stories and narratives and judgments and really crap that diet culture has shoved in our faces for so long, and creating your own structure and your own rules around eating that serves you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So the thing about dieting is that it teaches us to be deprived. And we also need to focus on, yes, are you deprived from food, but also like deprivation of like self-love and self-care. And sometimes grabbing a cookie and allowing yourself to enjoy the cookie is an act of self-love. The difference with intuitive eating is, and I'm getting off topic, I'm sorry, Kristen, I want to come back to your question in a moment, but like the difference is grabbing a cookie or two and allowing yourself the space to enjoy it is so different than denying yourself the ability to feel any emotions and judging those emotions, like I shouldn't be sad or whatever, and then self-soothing with the entire box of cookies. You can just see the intention behind it is very, very different. And so now you're not deprived of cookies, but you're depriving yourself of something else that probably needs to be addressed. Stress, sleep, self-care, love. Maybe you need affection. Maybe there's a tough conversation that you have to have. Something else in your life is out of alignment, and we turn to the entire cookie jar hoping that it will fix anything. And all we've done is eaten the entire cookie jar and nothing's gotten fixed. Whereas intuitive eating allows you to enjoy the food that you want, which might be a cookie or two, without judgment. Honoring your hunger and your hunger cues by going, what is it that my body needs right now? And if you can shut out the noise and the stress for a moment, you might realize like, oh, some vegetables does sound good right now. And it's not a weight loss pursuit. That's like, oh, vegetables make me feel good. Or it might be a small bag of chips makes you feel good right now. So intuitive eating is getting rid of rules and judgments. And like you said, Kristen, like getting back to listening to your body's hunger cues and fullness cue. So that's my only like type A correction, but I'm sorry. So what was your question?
No, please.
That was helpful.
I'm very much at the beginning of learning about intuitive eating. So I need the help. I think my question was, one of my biggest failures when it comes to it is going immediately back into sort of what diet culture has conditioned me to think. And for me, it's all very, very emotional. So for like a brief background, I've been dieting my entire life. And I think the first diet I did was in middle school. I did South Beach in middle school. And I know that there's a lot of statistics about like, I think the average age that girls start dieting is like 10 or something like that. It's insane. But yeah, so I was probably like 12 or 11 when I started my first diet with South Beach, and I've done like all of them. And there's so many emotions. So it feels like, especially as someone who wants to lose weight for health reasons, because like I have insulin resistance, and the best way to combat that is to lose weight. At least that's what my doctor says. So I want to do it in a healthy mindset way. So I go to start practicing intuitive eating. And then I end up thinking like, well, I really, really am craving Wendy's right now. And then I go to think like, well, my body is craving Wendy's right now. And then on the other hand, I'm like, well, is that my body craving Wendy's? Or is that like my, like, I'm feeling really sad and I want to self-soothe with Wendy's? Or is it like, I need something salty, so I should go eat this, you know, the cravings thing that you talked about. Or, like, I get myself wrapped up in this, like, mental struggle over it, and then I start to feel terrible, and I'm like, look, I'm already failing at intuitive eating. I can't even decide whether my body wants this or I am just, like, emotional. Or, and then, like, the diet culture comes back in and is like, well, you should find an alternative to this that it has fewer calories and isn't as bad for you. And I know that you have a lot to say about not labeling food as good or bad. So I guess, how do you help women navigate the emotional journey that you go on when you start learning to listen to your body again?
It's a really good question.
Is that a giant question?
Yeah, it
I'm
is.
Sorry.
I think it's really important to look at the entire context. So it's really hard to say within, like, that example of, like, well, I might just be craving Wendy's. And again, diet culture has conditioned us to think that, like, meals and eating happen in isolation, but it doesn't. Like, we need to look and see, like, because there's this concept of being overfed and undernourished that I think is really important. And then there's also underfed and undernourished. And neither of those two things are good. We want to be fed and nourished. We don't want to be undernourished. We don't want to be overfed, and we don't want to be underfed. Like, we just need to get fed, right? But nourishment is key. So if you and I, if we had, like, another hour, we would dive into, what have you been eating all week? You know, is your body craving Wendy's because it is hungry and now you just have a craving? Then let's see, like, it's not that the Wendy's is bad. You could probably go and have the Wendy's, but it's the context in which it's happening. When it comes to the emotion stuff too, just sit with it for a second. Like, am I, what, is there an emotion that needs to be addressed right now? And what is it? And what is my intention behind this trip to Wendy's? If it's, like, a joyful intention, if you're like, because don't get me wrong, I feel like the Wendy's chicken nuggets are gourmet. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're so good. They're so good. They are so good. And they used to have spicy chicken nuggets. And, like,
I know.
They're so good. So being able to identify the intention behind the Wendy's trip or the whatever is going to be huge. So if it feels heavy, sad, if you're like, this Wendy's trip is going to turn my day around, or, like, whatever, screw it, I'm feeling it intuitive eating anyway, so this just is just the nail in the coffin. Is that the kind of energy that we want to be putting into our body? It has nothing to do about the Wendy's. It has nothing to do about the Wendy's. Just like if you're eating a salad and you're like, this is awful. Like, I don't want this salad. And it could be full of vitamins and minerals and nutrients, but you are sad and you feel deprived eating the salad. That salad is not the meal for you then. You should be like, this is great. And now it's not going to be this celebration of, like, your favorite birthday meal. That's not going to happen every time we eat, but there should still be this overarching sense of peace and joy and fulfillment, which sounds really, like, woo-woo and very hippie, but you can think about how your attitude towards food would change if you're like, what just makes me feel really at ease? And that might be Wendy's. Or the coolest part about intuitive eating is that today it could be Wendy's and tomorrow it's not. And both are okay. And it gets to ebb and flow, quieting your mind and just being like, yeah, okay, this just is going to be fine. If you can feed yourself from that, like, calm sense of self-care, the what you're eating might change every single day, but you're always going to be cultivating those feelings. And if more women could approach food in that way, I just, like, that would be the answer. So it's easier said than done, but identifying the intention behind the food is huge. Does that answer your question at all?
Yes, I think so. Especially because I know for me, a lot of times the reason for the trip is out of, like, screw it, I've already failed, I'm gonna go do this. Or it's, I'm feeling sad and I've always used food to make me feel better, so right now I feel like that will make me less sad. And of course it doesn't, but, and, you know, I also have a thing where I love warm food. Like, I don't feel full if I eat something cold. It has to be, like, warm. I don't know why. So I just love to be like, that's nice warm in my belly. That's a separate conversation.
Well, Christina, one, I love you. Two, you. I love you too. That was a little strong.
I love you too.
Sorry, two, that came on really strong. But let's just end on me reflecting about how you said that all of those thoughts that you're thinking when you're trying to figure out what intuitive eating is, like, not even the food that you're going to put in your body, but those thoughts, like, I think that's amazing. Like, to think, like, do I want to live these, like, live these thoughts? Do I want to keep these thoughts? Do I, like, want to feed my mind with them? Like, that is really powerful, because those are the things that, like, help us make changes. So thank you for all of your wisdom, and we look to we look forward to more.
Yes, this was so great. I'm so sorry that our time has cut short, but
little flesh.
These are great questions. You guys are keeping me on my toes. I love it.
It's we're asking for ourselves, really.
Yeah, it's what we want to know.
I love it. Well, thank you so much. I can't wait to come back.
Yeah, yay! So we will. We're gonna hold off on the catchphrase, because I think we'll see you again soon.
Yes.
For now, I just think we'll say thank you, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, ladies. Thank you so much. I can't wait to do this again.